Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Cain. As I see it. Common sense. In a world of insanity.
Ladies and gentlemen, our fearless leader, Joe Biden, gave his State of the Union address, and I have nicknamed it the State of Confusion address, because either Joe Biden is an extraordinarily confused individual, or he is a blatant liar. I know which one I choose. It's probably a little mixture of both, but I know which one I choose out of the two. And if you did not see the State of the Union address, believe me when I tell you, you probably made the right decision. Because I sat here and watched this, not because I wanted to, but because I felt I really had to address it on this show. And I have to tell you that Joe Biden is, without a shadow of a doubt, president that has caused the greatest divide in this country. Now, people say, oh, Donald Trump, well, that's because everyone went mental, because an adult was in the room and actually tried to right some things that were wrong. Joe Biden is purposely divisive, because on one hand, while he's sitting here saying, well, we all have to come together, he's blaming just one side for everything. Nothing is Joe Biden's fault. Nothing is his administration's fault. Nothing is a Democrat's fault. Everything wrong with the country is wrong with the country because of the past administration and because of the Republicans currently in office. Now, Joe starts out touting programs that are Donald Trump's programs. Joe Biden didn't implement any of these things, and he's saying, oh, I did this and did that. No, Joe, you didn't. Trump did. But I'm just going to get to the heart of the matter and the things that I find the most egregious. Because this whole entire diatribe in which he at some points looked like just an old man ready to yell, get off my lawn. There were times when he just blatantly either 100% misinformed you on purpose or blatantly lied. You make your own decision. But Joe Biden says, I'm very proud of the fact that I've created more jobs in less time than any president, including Donald Trump, including everybody. Joe, this is total 100% misinformation. Number one, you're going by the percentages. You're not going by actual number of jobs created. You're going by the percentage of people who are employed. Millions of people have dropped out of the workforce, Joe. If you get into the workforce who dropped out because they found out that their unemployment checks and their welfare checks equal to or greater than the paychecks they're bringing home. So they dropped out of the workforce. If you put them all back into the workforce and they didn't have a job, Joe, the percentage would be horrible. Then let's factor in the fact that many people have to have a second job now, Joe. Maybe a third job, because they cannot make ends meet. And now let's factor in the third thing. Cannot say you created the jobs when in reality you're the one that took them away. So I'm going to make an analogy, and I hope everybody bears with me and follows me on this. If I were the owner of a bridge, and I said the bridge needs maintenance, and every year, 10,000 people cross this bridge. That's it, just a miserable 10,000 people. Every day, let's say, you know, a few hundred people cross or whatever. And I make it that no one can cross. And then when the bridge is all done, I open it up, and only 10 people cross it in a month. I can't say, I have upped the traffic on this bridge by 1,000% based upon what happened the last couple of months. Yeah, because the last couple of months was zero. Because I'm the one that shut it down. So you can't take credit and say, do you realize how much traffic I've generated by fixing this bridge? No, actually, no one's crossing it anymore, Joe. They all went elsewhere while I was fixing it. They all found a different route. So I can't sit there and say, oh, well, look at the amount of traffic that's crossing it. 100 times more than crossed it last month. Yeah, because last month it was closed. Well, that's exactly what you did with the jobs, Joe. You told everyone you can't go to work. You shut down the mom-and-pop stores. You shut down all the other stores. You told people if they didn't get the vaccine, they were fired. There was a zillion jobs, exaggerating, obviously, but there was a ton of jobs that weren't created. They were just reinstated. You're the ones who took them away. So then when you say y'all can go back to work, you can't count them as created jobs. Those were jobs, Joe, that existed before you were the president, and you're the one that shut them down. Oh, but never mind that. Never mind that, because it just sounds good for me to stand up here and say, I created more jobs than anyone. You've created none, Joe. But here's the sad reality. Even if those jobs were created, which they were not, but let's say they were, you have to understand that while you can sit at that podium and brag about, and wages are going up, wages indeed are going up, but they're not going up as fast as the rate of inflation. And wages don't matter. I know that sounds, I'm sure there are people listening saying, are you crazy? What do you mean wages don't matter? Let me explain. If you were making $1 an hour and rent was a dime and gas was a penny, it all equals out, folks. It's not how much you make. It's the spending power that you have from what you make. So if you make a couple of dollars more an hour than you used to, but it's costing you $10 more, you're still out. Now I want people to understand something. Joe Biden can sit at the podium all he wants and say, well, the wages are rising. Fine. Talk about the inflation, Joe. Oh, it's coming down every day. It's not coming down every day, Joe, because they don't measure it every day. So that's a blatant lie because it's not measured daily. Not even measured monthly anymore. Dollars. And you think that inflation is coming down. Well, buying power is worse than it's ever been. I want people to understand that Joe Biden blatantly lied when, well, he didn't lie. He just fudged a little bit when he said gas has come down $1.50 a gallon on the average from its peak. Yes, the peak that you created, Joe. One of your first acts as president was to close the Keystone Pipeline as far as its construction. And then you banned drilling on federal lands. You put us at the mercy of foreign oil, who then upped the amount per barrel and caused gas to go to $5 a gallon, some places $7 and more. And now you're going to take a victory lap when it comes down a dollar? It's still double what it was when Donald Trump was in office. Double. So what does that mean for the average citizen? Well, let's say it costs you, I don't know, $50 to fill your tank. It used to cost you $25. Let's say you fill your tank once a week to get to work and back and do all your errands and everything else. You're now spending $25 extra a week. That's $100 extra a month. $1,200 a year. $1,200 a year more. Just for the same thing. Take $1,200 right off of your yearly earnings. Take it off as if it were a tax, because that's kind of what it is. Now let's talk about the rise in grocery prices. You used to be able to maybe feed your family for, I don't know, depends on how big your family is, but let's say a family of four, you can get away with, $150 a week or something. Maybe not even, maybe more, I don't know. Well, you can double that now. Milk used to be $2.80 a gallon. It's $5. So let's just take that jug of milk that you have to buy once a week. Now that's an extra $10 a month, right? That's an extra $120 a year. And your eggs are an extra $120 a year. And your meat is an extra $250. And by the time you add up everything, by the time you add up your price of fuel, your heating oil, your groceries, your electric, the average family is paying $4,500 more than they were. So whatever you make, whether you make $50,000 a year or $250,000 a year, take $4,500 off of that. Right off the top of it. Just for the same things that you had in 2019 and 2020. Just for the same. So you now are $4,500 more expensive to live the same exact lifestyle you live. Doesn't sound very good, does it? $4,500 more, and that's just the average. Some people, it's more because rents went up. Other things that maybe some people don't rent, so, but on the average, $4,500. Your wages has not went up $4,500 a year, my friends. So they're giving you pennies and they're taking dollars. That's what you don't understand. They're throwing you pennies and they're taking dollars. It's a losing battle. Here's 50 cents. Give me $3. How many times can you play that game before you go broke? And yet he will stand up there in front of the American people and insist the economy's never been in better shape. I want you to tell that to families that I see. Because when I go into the grocery stores now, I often see people literally rifling through the meat packages trying to find the cheapest one. This one's $8. This one's $12. Let me see if I can find one for about $5 or $6 because they can't afford it. They can't afford it. But you think the economy's going well. Can't afford a dozen eggs anymore. Can't afford to put food on my table and pay for my electric and pay for my gas back and forth to work and keep my house warm. I know people like that. So don't sit here and tell me the economy's doing well. You got some nerve. I mean, if you're an honest man, you should have went up there and said, look, folks, we all been taking a beating these last couple of years, and I'm well aware of it. And we're doing everything we can do to fix it. No, no, you're not doing that. You can't fix a problem if you don't see it. And you're telling us there is no problem. So if there is no problem, Joe, how do we fix it? Huh? No, there's no problem. Everything's fine. If you can't afford to put food on your table and gas in your car and heat your house, I don't know what to tell you because I've raised your wages. Again, pennies. While they take dollars, they're always going to win. They're giving you pennies and taking your dollars. The house is always going to win, right? And that's what they're doing, folks. Because truthfully, they don't want you to eat meat. Apparently, they want you to eat insects. They don't want you to raise chickens or anything. Oh, my goodness, no. Let's make sure that you can't have these home farming. That's terrible. Can't do that. Let's make all kinds of restrictions on that. But with a straight face, he'll tell you everything is fine. Look out your window. Look at your own pocketbook. Is everything fine? Because I didn't see this in 2019. I saw happy people who were going out to dinner and laying $20 bills on a table for a tip. That's what I saw in 2019. I saw packed restaurants where people were throwing 20s on the table for a tip. Now I see people literally getting food to go so they don't have to leave a tip. And waitresses looking at empty booths wondering how they're going to make ends meet because they're not getting any tips. Don't you see how it trickles downhill? If people can't afford to buy the things, that they normally could with that $4,500 extra that they had every year in their pocket, then it trickles downhill. The guy at the fast food stand says, I don't know. They're not buying my food anymore as much as they used to. I guess I have to lay off a couple of workers. Or I have to raise my prices. You raise your prices more, less people come. You have to lay off more workers. See how that works? But the economy's just doing well. Just doing smashingly. It's a lie, folks. The economy's about to crash. We're about to head into a recession. If it weren't for shortage of groceries a while back, now we're starting to get the groceries back in, but no one can afford them. And they nickel and dime you to death, folks. And I still hear these Democrats, and they make me want to, I can't even say what they make me want to do. So I'll just say this. I have to chuckle. Because they'll say, oh, it's only 50 cents more than it was. It's 50 cents. Are you going to cry and whine about 50 cents? Yes, I am. And I'll tell you why I'm going to cry and whine about 50 cents. Because I'm going to relate a story to you. I know an elderly lady who lives relatively near me. She's a widow. She's on a pension. She's a lonely old woman. And she has four or five cats. She told me the other day, I used to be able to get cat food for a dollar a can. It's now $1.65. It's almost double. I have to decide whether I feed my cat sometimes or put some food on my table. That should never be. So, yeah, okay, it's only 65 cents more times 5, times 10. I don't know how many cans she needs a week. And then the tuna that she buys for herself, oh, that's only another quarter a can. And the milk, oh, that's only another $2 a gallon. Oh, and then the vegetable she buys, oh, that's only 75 cents more than it was. Keep adding. As the cart gets fuller, you'll start to realize that those pennies turn into dollars and those dollars turn into hundreds of dollars. But the Democrats are too elitist to realize it and say it's just pennies. It's not just pennies. Cart where everything is 50 cents more than it used to be, and pretty soon you're into the $100 range. But everything's just fine. Then he says the dumbest thing I think maybe I've ever heard a sitting president ever say. He starts out by telling the truth. He says fentanyl is destroying this country. It's killing more people daily than anything else. Correct, Joe. And do you know why? Because the border is wide open and they're flooding it in. That's why. If you really cared about the fentanyl crisis, you would close the border. But you don't care about the fentanyl crisis. You just had someone write that in your speech because you knew then the Republicans would have to say, oh, yes, that's right. Yes, fentanyl. Yes, that's a terrible thing. We got to solve that. And you'll get a little round of applause so you can say, see, we have a little bit of a universal agreement on something. No, we don't agree on something, Joe, because you have no plan to handle it. Your plan to handle it is let more come in. The way Joe Biden wants to solve the problem. We have a terrible fentanyl crisis. Open the borders more. It's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. I've never, ever heard of a sitting president so blind to the absolute truth as Joe Biden. And then he just makes stuff up. Well, you know, my friends across the aisle here, they want to do away with Social Security. Yeah, did you see the look on the Republicans' faces? They're like, who the hell is he talking about? There's not one Republican, not one, who's ever suggested removing Social Security. So they're all like, what? And that's when things got raucous, and the Republicans start saying, boo, a liar. Marjorie Taylor Greene says you're a liar. He is a liar. He made that up. He just totally made that up to scare the American people. Totally made it up. That would be like me as president coming out and saying, the Democrats want to put every single person in cages and feed them once a day with nothing but worm larvae. And the American people sitting at home go, what? And I just made it up. But that's okay. I'm the president. I can make it up. You made that up, Joe. That's a damn lie. And you should be called on the carpet for it. You should be ashamed of yourself because you're a liar. And what you're trying to do is scare the old people. You're trying to scare the people that might vote for you into saying, oh, I can't vote for anybody else but Joe because he's going to save my Social Security. The Republicans are not taking away Social Security. They're fighting harder than the Democrats. It's your Democratic allies who are suggesting it. And guess who suggested it several years ago? A senator, a Democratic senator by the name of Joe Biden. Don't believe me? Look it up. Don't believe me? Google it. That's what Joe Biden suggested several years ago. So in his mind, he's just thinking, I heard that somewhere. Yeah, it was you. It was you. It was a disgusting display. It was a cross between taking credit for things Donald Trump did, blaming Donald Trump for things that you did, blaming the Republicans for things that you actually tried to implement, and patting yourself on the back for things that doesn't exist. This was literally a speech based on fantasy. Absolute fantasy. And it was disgusting. Now, I, unlike a lot of Republicans, was very disappointed in Sarah Huckabee Sanders' response. I like Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and God bless her. She overcame cancer, and she overcame some other things, and God bless her. And I believe her heart's in the right place. But when you make a rebuttal, Sarah, it's not supposed to be a campaign speech for what you did. It's supposed to be rebutting what he said. Let me make the rebuttal. I'll make the rebuttal. I'll tell everybody he lied. He flat out lied. I'll show people the numbers and say, there is no way he created any jobs. I'll show people the inflation numbers and say the amount of spending power is not keeping up with inflation. So it doesn't matter how high your wages are. It doesn't matter if you've got a job. You're still on your ass because of your spending power. No, she's taking up all the time saying, why first? I don't care what you did. This isn't your campaign ad. What Joe Biden said, and for the most part, you didn't do that. So when I hear the Republicans say, she did such a wonderful job. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. She hit on a couple of issues and said he was wrong about a couple of things. He was wrong about all. I'd still be doing the rebuttal. They'd have to bring out the big hook and hook me off the television because I'd still be doing the rebuttal, proving that he's a liar and a fraud, and a phony. And I wouldn't be giving you my resume. I'd be telling you the things that he said that was lies and misinformation. Because that's what a rebuttal's supposed to be. Now, this whole thing was just had a weird vibe. Let me tell you some things that happened you might not have seen. During this diatribe of a speech, or before it or after, and I'm not sure which, Jill Biden goes over to Kamala Harris's husband and for some unknown reason just plants one on him that lasts like 15 seconds. Literally is kissing this guy for like 15 seconds. Right on the mouth. I'm like, what the hell is this? The president's wife is making out with the vice president's husband. Go look it up. That's just inappropriate. I mean, you give somebody a peck on the cheek or even a kiss on the lips. You don't grab a hold of them. I've never seen anything like that. But that's not the most disgusting thing, folks. I'm going to tell you something that's going to make your skin crawl. And I know a lot of people out there is going to say, that's not true. Again, please, don't take my word for anything I say. See, the people listen to this show, my listeners, I know you're smart. And part of the reason that you're smart is because you don't listen to anybody and say, whatever you say, I believe. I don't want you to listen to me and say everything he says, I believe. I want you to fact check me. I want you to say that doesn't sound right. Let me go look. Because the more you do, the more you'll realize, son of a bitch, he was right. And the more you'll learn. But you always have to fact check everyone, and that includes me. I'm not above getting something wrong, but I didn't get this wrong, folks. Several people, elected officials, high ranking elected officials, at that State of the Union address, weren't wearing American flag pins, including the old turkey neck, Mitch McConnell, who decided he'd just wear a Ukraine pin, but not an American flag. But some of them weren't even wearing that. You know what they were wearing? They were wearing pins that said, I love abortion. Yes, you heard it right. There was an I, and then a heart was in the O of abortion. I love abortion. That's the button they're wearing. Now, I want to ask you a question. Let's just say you're pro-choice. Pro-choice, I would hope that you're one of those people that say, this is a terribly, terribly serious thing. And it's a horribly regretful thing if anyone ever has to have an abortion. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's a morbid thing. But I think that it's necessary. Okay. If that's your opinion, I can accept your opinion. Do you love it? You love it? You love the fact that you can become pregnant and then have the child ripped out of your stomach. You love that. That's something you love. You know, you see these pins that says, I love cats. I love whatever, right? You love abortion? You love the fact that you can take a potential life and squash it, even if that's what you think it is a potential life, because that's what I hear. It's just a potential life. Okay, well, I'll take your verbiage then. It's a potential life. You love that fact. That's something you love, and you have to wear that on your lapel, that you love it. That is ghoulish. How about if I wore a pin that said I love assisted suicide? I love it. I just love it. Can't wait to get in there and assist somebody to kill themselves. You know what they say about me? You're a ghoul. You're a horrible, evil, terrible, ghoulish person. So that's what I'm saying about you people. You're horrible, evil, terrible, ghoulish people who apparently love the fact that you can end a life. Love it. Love it enough to wear a pin. Not an American flag. Not even a Ukrainian flag. Abortion pin. Disgusting. Now, I also want to mention that I heard these ridiculous, low IQ, I can't even say what I'm thinking, these literal morons on The View, every one of them, complete and utter moron. If they had to pass an IQ test to get their jobs, they'd be on the street with a cup. Literally say, do you see how low class the Republicans were booing the president and calling him a liar? And this is just terrible. You have to show decorum when a president is speaking. You, the people who applauded Nancy Pelosi for standing up and ripping Donald Trump's State of the Union speech in half. You phonies. Oh, that was wonderful. She's a hero. She's heroic. But when Marjorie Taylor Greene says you're a liar, when Joe Biden is clearly lying, clearly pulling a complete lie out of his backside, for brownie points, trying to appeal to the poor old people who don't really follow politics that well, saying, my check's going to stop. I'll be ruined. I'll be destitute. You are literally trying to force old people by scaring them to death, thinking they're going to lose their Social Security, when you know that's not true. And so when one woman says, you're a liar, no one on this side said anything like that. No one proposed anything like that. Prove it, Joe. Prove it. You say, well, it's not all of you. That's what he said when he started to get booed. I'm not saying it's the majority of you. I'm not saying it's all of you. A couple of you, name them. Name them, Joe. I dare you. Name them. And that's what Sarah Huckabee Sanders should have said. Joe Biden, name those people. Name them. If you got them, name them. You don't have them. That's the problem. You're a liar. Because they want to rule through fear. They found out that worked really well in COVID. People are scared. They'll do whatever. So let's scare the old and the elderly into thinking the checks are going to be taken away and they'll be destitute now on the street and they'll vote for anybody. Is that how low you got to stoop? Is that how low you have to go to try to remain in power? The Democrats will do anything to remain in power. Anything. I've never seen in my entire life a group of people so power mad and power hungry as the Democrats. They want to rule forever and they want to rule you. They want to tell you what to do, what to eat, what to wear, what to drive, how to think, what to read. Your life is their decision. That's what they want. Finger at the other side and say, that's what the other side wants. We don't want that. Unbelievable. So the speech was a disaster. There were parts of it that Joe Biden looked downright mean and confused. He started yelling at people. He backpedaled when he was getting booed. Oh, wait, I didn't mean that. He stumbled over his words. He looked terrible. His wife's making out with a vice president's husband. People running around with I love abortion pins. This is what you want for the country? You think this is a good idea? Everything going well while you're buying your $8 eggs and your $4 gas? You think it's okay that the people you voted for are running around with I love abortion buttons? It's just unbelievable. Really is. If you missed it, I'm sort of glad you missed it. Because it was unbearable. It literally made the hair on my arm stand up. I felt like jumping through the television set and saying, are you insane? Completely insane. I don't think in the whole speech, and I don't know how long it felt like 5 hours. I don't think he said two or three things that were true. I really don't. It was all just either I did this, when in fact it was Trump policies who did it, or the reason this is a disaster is because of Trump when it was your policies who did it, or the things that we want to implement that are unpopular is really the Republicans want to implement that. We're the ones who want to save everything. Yeah, I know you do. You just want to save the world, right? Joe, weren't you the person who stood on a stage across from Donald Trump, looked him dead in the eye and said, I promise the American people that that laptop is a lie. My son, that was not my son's laptop, and I never had any dealings with any of my son's business partners in any way, shape, or form ever. That's all Russian collusion that Donald Trump has cooked up to try to win the presidency. Didn't you say that? Well, we found out different. That is his laptop. You were in cahoots with his business partners. And no one's asking these questions, folks. There's no newspaper or news anchors or reporters sticking microphones in his face saying, why? Why did you lie? You know better than that, Joe. The truth is now out. It's not like it's not out now. So why did you purposely lie to the people? Same reason you said, I will never end fracking. And then Biden says something that literally caused, when is the last time you heard a president say something serious, not a joke, say something serious, and the whole room erupts into laughter? because it's so absurd. Joe Biden says, well, I know we're going to need oil for at least the next decade. And the whole room just breaks out into laughter. Because any sane person knows you're always going to need oil. Even if electric cars come in, you're still going to need oil. Apparently Joe Biden doesn't know that. No, 10 years, maybe. Maybe more. Maybe more, as they're laughing at him. He's saying, okay, maybe more. I don't know, maybe. He looked weak, confused. He lied. He took credit for things he didn't do. He blamed people for things they didn't do. Never mentioned the Chinese balloon, by the way. He just said, well, we're really tough on China. Yeah, you're really, really tough on China. China's just shaking in their boots. Just shaking in their boots, Joe. Pathetic. I'm going to go to the phones and take a call on this subject. I'm going to talk a little bit about Twitter and what's happening in Congress because that's actually pretty funny. Tom in New York, are you there?
Yes, Marcus, I'm here. Good afternoon. I'm just going to say this. Wasn't it China or one of the countries, I believe it was actually China, I'll have to go back and check, but I'm just going to say it anyway, because I know you're going to understand, you're going to know what I'm talking about. They were all sitting at a summit, and Joe Biden speaks up and mumbles something, and they turn around to him and say, you're in no position to make any decisions.
That was China. It wasn't actually Joe Biden. It was some of his representatives. Joe Biden sent some representatives to negotiate with China, and China said the United States is in no position to give us any advice or orders. And that's the time when you should have folded up your attaché case and said, we'll see you later. We have nothing more to say to you. But instead, they just shrunk down in their chairs and said, okay. It wasn't they didn't say it to Joe Biden. They said it to his people. That's how the Biden administration handled China. You know how the Trump administration handled China? While the president of China was dining at the White House having dessert with Donald Trump, Donald Trump leaned over to him and said, excuse me, I just wanted to make you aware that in like 10 minutes we'll be bombing Syria. Ping literally says, what? And Trump repeats it, we're bombing Syria. We told them no gas, no chemical weapons. They failed to listen to us. They're being bombed. Well, that's when China knew Donald Trump was serious, and they took that back, and they told Kim Jong-un and all their little buddies, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, we want to make friends with Donald Trump. We'll go talk to him. We'll negotiate. Yeah. What do you think they did when they sat across the table from Biden's people and basically said, you're in no position. The United States is no longer in any position to suggest or insist we do anything. You no longer have that power. What do they mean by no longer? What did they mean by that? Because that's the words they used. Oh, you're in no position right now to do it. Oh, we were before, though, weren't we? Well, what changed? Oh, the president changed. But Joe's tough on China. That's why they dare speak to him like that. Do you think they would have spoken to Trump's people like that? Hell no, they wouldn't have. Hell no, they wouldn't have. And if they did, they would have been held to pay. Let me talk a little bit about Twitter. Because Congress is grilling them. And just when you think there can't be anybody that was elected to public office any dumber than Joe Biden, a Democrat comes out of the woodwork. I don't know who this Democrat was. I was not paying close enough attention to get his name. But he's sitting right up there front and center, so he must be very important in this hearing. And he literally says, I don't know what the problem here is. Twitter is a private company. They can sway any way they want to. If they want to be far left or far right, look at Fox News. Fox News is very far to the right, and no one tells them they have to be in the middle. No one tells them they have to have equal amounts of left wing and right wing. So how can you sit here and tell Twitter or call them on the carpet. How can you do that? It's not fair. That is when I understood very clearly that there are people who are elected to office who do not have the brains of an ice cube. Literally do not have the brains of an ice cube. It is not a prerequisite for being elected in this country that you have an IQ above a shoelace. Well, Comer did not give a good reply to that man. So let me reply to that man. Number one, Fox News is an opinion channel. And they clearly state that that's what they are. They have hosts who host opinion shows. If Twitter was to say, we are a left-leaning organization who caters to the left-wing democratic socialist agenda, I don't have a problem with that, because then everyone knows that the news is going to come out slanted that way. I know when I turn into CNN that the news is going to come out slanted toward the left. I know when I tune into Fox, the news is going to come out slanted to the right. Twitter made no such claim. Twitter said they were a platform for a free exchange of open ideas where everyone's voice can be heard equally. And then they lied. So when people go on Twitter and they don't see a certain point of view, the assumption isn't that Twitter is biased. The assumption is no one has that point of view. So when they see Hunter Biden's laptop was a lie, it was a lie, it was a lie, it was a lie, and you're not allowed to say, no, it wasn't a lie. The only thing you see are people saying it was a lie, then you would assume, well, it must be a lie. Everyone on Twitter saying it's a lie, I don't see anyone on Twitter saying it's not. So it must be. That's the difference, Einstein. If I go to a Democratic convention, I don't expect Republican speakers. If I go to a Republican convention, I don't expect Democrat speakers. But if I go to a fair, open debate, I expect both sides to be able to be heard, not one. So you want an analogy? I'll give you an analogy. How about a debate where the Republican candidate gets to talk? The Republican candidate gets to answer questions, but only questions given to him by Republican-leaning hosts. And the whole audience has to be made up of Republicans, and the Democrat does not get to talk. How about that? How about we have a debate like that? You want one of those? Or would you say, this isn't fair? We didn't get our people in there. Yeah, exactly. So congratulations, you're the dumbest man on the planet. Now, Twitter openly admitted they were colluding with the FBI. They were colluding with the DNC. The DNC, the FBI, all kinds of people were telling them, take this down, take that down, don't allow this, don't allow that. That's not a private publisher. That's an editor. You're not entitled to those protections under a private publishing company if you're and you're working as an arm of the government. That's Pravda. That's what that is. That's Pravda. But apparently, our esteemed congressman does not know that. He thinks it's perfectly okay. Perfectly okay that only one side gets to talk. It's perfectly okay to suppress actual facts. It's perfectly okay to ban accounts that's newspaper accounts, newspaper that's been in business for 50, 60, 70, 100 years. Ban their accounts because they're saying something we don't like. So, no, you can't compare it to Fox News. You can compare it to a debate where every time the Democrat is asked a question, they cut his mic. Isn't it true, Mr. Biden, that you said that all of the people who voted for you can go to hell and you hate this country? Sorry. You can't speak. Isn't it true, Mr. Biden, that you and Hunter were sharing Russian hookers by the dozen? Sorry, we're cutting your mic. That's what it would be the same as, you moron. So you can just throw out allegations that are false or squash allegations that are true and make it appear any way you want to because you're controlling the narrative. That's not a private publishing company. So there they all sit like idiots. I don't even know. They don't know anything. This is the answer they give to everything. Did you know that the FBI, we didn't know, I didn't know. Well, there's nobody higher up than you. That's exactly what Jim Jordan said at one point. Jim Jordan said, well, I don't understand this. You're in charge of the whole thing. If you don't know, who did? You're saying, well, I didn't want to take down the Hunter Biden story. Who did then? You're in charge of it. Name me the guy. It was a business decision, yeah, and you're the head of that organization's business department, and so who did it? And then the little coward spits out a name. It was so-and-so. I don't want to be held responsible for it. You see how they turn on each other? Because they're like little rats on a ship. They're big and powerful and brave until the ship starts sinking, pushing women and children in the water to get to the lifeboat, because that's who they really are. Now when you see them for who they really are, cowards, partisan hacks, liars, and I dare say insurrectionists, you know, here's the thing. They're so worried about January 6th, where people were saying, we think this election wasn't fair. Well, it wasn't fair. And now we know for sure it wasn't fair. Because these Twitter people have literally said, yes, we did collude with the government to withhold information from the American people that would have been crucial to their voting choice. How's that fair? That's not insurrection. But they'll sit there high and mighty and act like we're above these questions. Huh, I didn't know. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the trials of Nuremberg, where all these people are like, I only did what I was told. I wasn't in charge. I don't know. Meanwhile, you were gassing little children and bayoneting women through the back of the head. But you didn't know. I'm sick of that answer. You know what you do? I'll tell you what I would have done. I would have stepped down. Someone tells me, you need to take this down. And I say, well, I don't, why? This doesn't violate our policy in any way, shape, or form. I don't care. We don't like what it says. Too bad. This is where we have a free exchange of ideas. You don't have to like what it says, but it's not violating our policy. Take it down. No, I'm not. I'll just step down then, and I'll go to the news. And I'll tell the news, look, I stepped down because these people are trying to rig an election. They're trying to get me to take down vital information that could very well be true. But you see how they played the game? Once Twitter started taking down all that information, and the only thing that was up is Hunter Biden's laptop and Russian collusion and Russian misinformation, then 51 former intelligence officials sign a paper saying, yes, we agree it's Russian disinformation. See how that works? So when Twitter bans everybody from saying it's not, and 51 officials come out later and say, oh, Twitter's right. See how they worked hand in hand to make that look like it was the truth? See how many people came up to me and said, you're not buying that Hunter Biden thing, right? You know that was a planted laptop. You know that's bullshit. You know that the Trump administration was just trying to scare people into not voting for Joe. What do you feel like now, idiots? When Hunter Biden had just literally said, yep, that's my laptop. Yep, everything on there is mine. Yeah, he's a real nice guy, by the way. You know, you're so worried about, oh, Donald Trump once called somebody a pig face. Are you worried about Hunter Biden, who said he wasn't even going to pay an employee of his who he owed tens of thousands of dollars to? You know what he told the woman? If you want your pay, you have to FaceTime me naked and let me watch you shower, or I won't pay you. And you can't prove I owe you the money. And the woman's saying, I have to pay my rent. You owe me this money. I worked for you, and I'm willing to give it to you. Just get naked and let me watch you shower. That's who you're dealing with. So you're dealing with perverts who's threatening women and forcing them into a sexual situation they don't want to be in. You got people walking around with I love abortion buttons. You got the president's wife making out with the vice president's husband. That's what you want for this country? They're all a bunch of weirdos. I'm getting tired of it. I'm getting tired of people not seeing the truth. How blind can you possibly be? Can you smack yourself upside the head just once and wake the hell up, have a second cup of coffee, whatever the hell it's going to do, to get you out of your daze and realize that the wolves are at the door and you're the bait? It's unbelievable. And there are still people saying it was such a wonderful speech. It called for unity. It called for unity? It called for the exact opposite. I love when Joe Biden does that. We all need to come together, folks. We're all Americans first. It's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about American. And we all need to come together as Americans. And to do that, we have to realize that these goddamn Republicans are evil, horrible bastards who's trying to ruin the planet. And everything they say is a lie. And they're the cause of everything that you're going through right now. Oh, thanks. Yeah, that worked. That's real unity, Joe. Real unity. You want to talk about a tired old man who's just done. You're looking at him. And what's even worse is he has no legacy. He accomplished nothing in his life, really. Nothing. He became the president, and he's president by name only. So whatever legacy he had, which was none, but at least he was known as a senator, it's crushed. Everything's crushed. Because Joe Biden, the same guy who's saying, I don't want my kids going to school in an urban jungle, and we should be throwing people in jail for even marijuana. For a long time. This is the guy now who's just bowing before the mob saying, children should be allowed to decide their own sexuality. Trans children are important. Children! Children! Answer me this one question. If they are too young to understand who they want to have sex with, why are they too young to understand what sex they want to be? Can you answer me that question? If their minds are not developed enough to decide who they want to have any kind of an intimate or sexual-based relationship with, how are their minds mature enough to understand that they might want to go through surgery to be a different sex? When I was 9 years old, I wanted to be Superman. My folks didn't tell me to go up and get a cape and jump off the roof and see if I could fly. You're all perverts. That's the problem. We're dealing with a bunch of pervs. We're dealing with a bunch of nuts. We're dealing with a bunch of power-mad psychopaths who would step over their own grandmother to stay in power, cut anybody's throat they have to cut, throw anybody off over the bus that they had to. That's what we're dealing with here, folks. Lies mean nothing. They don't care. Collusion means nothing. Ruling through fear means nothing. Nothing means nothing to these people. These Twitter executives, they're taking it on the chin, Tom, but in reality, nothing's going to happen to them.
No, and I said this before, and it's really sad because if the shoe were on the other foot, if the shoe were on the other foot and this was, you know, Republicans that were or Democrats that were – you know what I mean? If this were Republicans that were under fire, you know that they would be this would be 24/7 news, and they would be facing, you know, when you lie to Congress, that's jail time. You get caught lying to Congress. Well, I know very many people who lied to Congress, including Dr. Fauci, who's lied to Congress on several occasions. Where's he? Now he's on every news station. You got to take the vaccine. And you're 18.
Yeah, well, again, nothing's going to happen to him because they're going to say, well, that's just my understanding. That's how they get around it. But to the best of my knowledge, to my understanding, as far as I know, that's the answers to every question. They're coached that way by their lawyers. Don't say anything definite. Don't say, no, that never happened. Yes, this did happen. I believe that might have, but I'm not 100% sure. No, I don't think, to the best of my knowledge, that didn't. But I'm not, to the best of my knowledge, I don't recall that happening. That's how they get away with it. Because then somebody says, you lied. No, I didn't. I said, to the best of my knowledge. That escaped my memory. I'm sorry. I'm human. I forgot that. That's how they get away with it. They're coached by lawyers to say that. In the chat room, Derek is saying, you know, if you get McConnell and Lindsey Graham out of Congress, there'd be less problems. Yeah, well, Lindsey Graham's a snake in the grass. He's a Judas. We know that. Mitch McConnell's walking around like that cartoon character Turkey on Thanksgiving, bucking at everybody and wearing a Ukraine button. He's about as much of a Republican as Biden is. And Graham, if tomorrow the Chinese invaded, Lindsey Graham would say, I love China. I've always loved China. China's my best friend. I love everything about China. Lindsey's just whatever side his bread is buttered on. That's where he's going. He's a grifter. He'll praise Donald Trump uphill and down and then say, the war in Ukraine is the most important thing we have. Well, Donald Trump does not support that. So how in the world, Lindsey, are you so gung-ho on Donald Trump if one of the main things that you believe in, he says is garbage? You're a liar, Lindsey. You're a grifter. You'll go wherever your bread's buttered and wherever you think you get the best shake. This State of the Union speech, folks, was an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment of lies where a weak old man was paraded up, given misinformation, told to lie, told to try to look firm and instead looked weak, told to look passionate and instead looked angry, told to look inclusive and instead look divisive. And believe me when I tell you, all of our adversaries who watched this had to be salivating and laughing, saying, oh my gosh, the mighty United States, how far they have fallen. In just a couple of short years, we went from quaking in our boots when the president spoke to laughing out loud. It's a shame, folks. It's a shame. State of the Union, my ass. This was total state of confusion.
Marcus Game. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.